A new international report released yesterday by the FXB Center of Health and Human Rights at Harvard University highlights the inadequacy of health standards for young people in detention, including here in WA. The report's senior author, head of Justice Health Group at Curtin University, Professor Stuart Kinnair, says children who experience deprivation of liberty, notably including those held in detention, typically have complex co-occurring health needs requiring coordinated and high-quality health care. He joins me now to have a chat about the report. Welcome to the program, Professor Stuart Kinnair.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Now, this report is not just based in WA. It's an international-based report. But how bad is the problem, to bring it local, how bad is the problem here in WA in terms of kids in detention and the health needs that they need and compared to the health needs that they're actually getting?
Well, there's a few different problems that we could talk about here. The first problem is the health needs of children in youth detention. And we know that children in detention in WA, just like elsewhere in Australia and in many parts of the world, have really significant health needs. Some of your listeners may have heard about the Banksy Hill study that the Telethon Kids Institute led a number of years ago, showing an incredibly high rate of neurodevelopmental disability, especially FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the concerns. So as I said in a wordy way in what you read out before, most kids in youth detention have more than one significant health problem, and those health problems interact with each other. So it's a very medically, health-wise, complex group of young people who really need support. How well are we doing in meeting those needs? That is unfortunately a bit of a black box. In some parts of the world, there is greater transparency around the quality of healthcare in youth detention. In Australia, we're very lucky that the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare routinely reports on healthcare in prisons around the country. Unfortunately, we don't yet have anything comparable for youth detention. So the short answer in terms of how well we're doing in Western Australia is that we don't know. Now, that's not to say that people in the system aren't working hard. It's a really tough job working in a youth detention
center. Of course, yeah.
There are a lot of very dedicated people working hard. So this report is not about criticizing people. It's about criticizing standards, investment, funding, and systems that are really should be doing more to support these young people.
So when we talk about standards, what is the base level of a child in detention that has these health requirements? Is it a regular visit to doctors? Is it regular visit to psychiatrists? What is the base level? And how far off are we from that base level? If you can say, because as you say, it's hard to know exactly what's going on.
Sure. Look, the short answer to that question is that children in detention should get the same. So we have this idea of this thing called the principle of equivalence. So people in custody should get the same that they get in the community. Mm-hmm. And in the report, we point out that Australia, like nearly every country in the world, except for the US and one other country, has ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child. And what that signs us up to is committing to every child having the right to the highest attainable standard of health. So children in detention, just like every other child in Australia, have the right to the highest attainable standard of health. The problem is, subsequent to that, the Committee on the Rights of the Child in the UN wrote another document called General Comment 24, where they downgraded that and said children should get adequate medical care. And so really, from an international human rights perspective, that's a key point we're making. These children deserve the best possible care, not adequate care, not enough, but the best, just like every other child in Australia. At the moment, we don't think they're getting that. We know there are some really important gaps. A really obvious one is that children in youth detention around the country are excluded from our supposedly universal health insurance scheme, Medicare. Children in detention are not eligible for Medicare subsidies.
Right.
Now, why might that matter? Children don't normally go to the doctor and whip out their Medicare card. One really obvious answer to that is that around the country, most kids are in detention, 60% are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids. We know that having community-controlled health organisations provide the care in detention and help support those kids once they get back to the community leads to better outcomes. Right now, they can't do that. because they can't bulk bill. The way those organisations stay alive is to bulk bill for their primary care services. They can't do that now because they're not allowed to bulk bill for Medicare services in detention. It's a totally avoidable problem.
Mm. So just to my naivety kicks in a little bit here on how the health system works. In terms of that, does that mean that if a child needs to go and visit a doctor while in detention, do the parents of that child have to pay that gap or the in between, or is that picked up by the detention centre, I guess?
Yeah, look, our states and territories cover healthcare in youth detention.
Yeah.
So, and how that's done is different in different parts of the country. Internationally, the WHO has for more than a decade now recommended that healthcare in custody be delivered by a Department of Health. Sounds obvious.
Mm.
But in a number of places, including Western Australia, that healthcare is being delivered by a Department of Justice.
Right.
Now, again, this is not to have a go at the people delivering healthcare through the Department of Justice, but there's an inherent conflict there between justice and health.
Yeah.
And so right now, the WA Department of Justice is paying for all of the healthcare for children in youth detention.
Right. I think that's something that a lot of the general public probably have no real concept of. I mean, I guess there's this perception that people in detention or people in prison can go see a doctor or whoever whenever they need, and it's readily available. Clearly, this report indicates that may not be the case. When we look at the cycle of detention, how important is it for when kids do something that they shouldn't, and they get put in detention, how important is it that when they're there, they're cared for and looked after so that they don't come back, so that there isn't this cycle of consistently coming back?
It's absolutely critical, of course. So, look, you know, children who go to detention, we're not going to fix any of the issues that led to them being in detention during their time in detention. The average time in youth detention in Australia is 8 days. We had last financial year 4,350 kids go through youth detention. We're not going to change the life trajectories of young people who've been traumatised, marginalised and have significant mental health and substance use and health needs in 8 days.
No.
What we can do is identify those issues and make sure that when they do return to the community, we can finally start giving them the support that we need. And unfortunately, we're not achieving that at the moment either.
You mentioned Unit 18 at Bankshire Hill, which has been in the news for many reasons, mostly the incorrect reasons. The government has indicated, the Cook government has indicated that will be closed, and essentially they don't want the kids there now anyway. What's stopping the government from just shutting that down and putting them elsewhere? And when a new facility is built, is that facility being built with these sort of recommendations that your report indicates in mind?
So I think you're talking about Unit 18 at Casuarina, which is security adult prison. So this is an issue that has arisen in a number of jurisdictions around Australia. And again, we're not unique in this regard. Ideally, what we want to be doing is having as few kids in youth detention as possible. We don't want to be building more child prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it's not appropriate for children to be in a maximum security adult prison. My understanding is based on the same media information that you've got access to, which is that this arose as a combination of overcrowding and some of the older kids with behavioural issues, it being considered inappropriate to keep them with younger kids. Now, the first thing we could do about that problem is to stop incarcerating 10, 11, 12 and 13-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So the international benchmark and the recommendation from the UN specifically to Australia is to raise the minimum age of criminal responsibility to at least 14, in line with most developed civilised countries. Unfortunately, in most Australian states and territories, including WA, we continue to lock up young, vulnerable children in prisons. I have a 10-year-old son, and I'd be having nightmares every night if my child was in one of those settings.
Of course, yeah.
It's just simply not appropriate for young children to be in those settings, whether the number of them is small or not. The number should be zero.
So what is the next step? What is there's no simple fix in any of this, as you've indicated. But what are the small steps or the large steps, I guess, a government could start to make to make sure that when kids who are in detention, who have been put there for various reasons, but are still kids, how are they best looked after?
It's often said that what gets counted gets done. And with respect to healthcare and all of the other services we provide to young people in detention, let's start by counting. And what I mean by that is establishing a system for routine, independent scrutiny and public reporting on what's going on inside these centres. We, the Australian public, spend over $1 million per year per young person in detention. And right now we have very little idea about what goes on in there, what services are available to them and what their health needs are. That has to change. That is absolutely low-hanging fruit. Once we know what those health needs are and what we're currently doing to respond to them, we can decide whether that's enough or not. Almost certainly it will not be. And that transparency will help make the case for spending the money we need so that these children don't go back to youth detention in another 6 months, don't go on to be incarcerated as adults, and don't go on to tragically die. And we've recently shown that kids in detention in Australia die after they return to the community at more than 6 times the rate of other children in the community. None of this is good enough.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Professor Stuart Kinnear. A report that is tough to read, but a report that is vital to understand what's going to happen next for young kids in detention across the country. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Chris.
That was Professor Stuart Kinnear from Curtin's University Justice Health Group.